bless you guys. I'm honored to share tonight, and we're grateful that you're here tonight. For those that are here, for those that are viewing, God bless you. Tonight, I want to share with you quickly just a thought that the Lord placed in my heart. It's a challenging word that the Lord placed in my heart for us, and I pray that we would receive it as I share it. It's found in Psalm chapter 25, verses 12 through 15. Psalm chapter 25, verses 12 through 15. The word is read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. This psalm is written by King David, and the title of it is Teach Me Your Paths. Teach Me Your Paths. We know David, for some of us, for many of us, we know David, and I feel like we can see ourselves in David easily. I feel like when we read the Psalms, and this is why when someone asks me, how should I read Scripture? Where should I read Scripture? How do I start reading Scripture? I direct them towards the Psalms because I feel like it's easy for us to just relate to David, to see our emotions and see certain seasons in our lives in the Psalms. And this is David, a man who was open, transparent. We're able to see similarities in David's prayers and ours. We feel a sense of comfort and familiarity with David. And David in this chapter continues his wrestling with himself and in spirit and in flesh. David continues his conversation and prayer of trying to be all God has made him to be. And I feel that this should be our prayers as well, right? I think that this is where we see ourselves, because we too are in this constant conversation, this constant dialogue, and this constant season of trying to find or trying to realize the person that God has called us to be. God, should I do this? How can I stop doing that? David was someone who had struggles, who doubted, who obviously messed up. David was someone who, although he found himself in different moments of hardship, the reason why God says that David was a man after his own heart was because David had this uncanny, very genuine, relatable, vulnerable relationship with God. He had this genuine way to reach the Father's heart in the midst of his hardship, in the midst of his situation. And also, after hardship, he had this uncanny ability to draw close to the Father in a genuine, humble, and contrite spirit. And so David in this chapter continues his ongoing dialogue with God. And he says stuff like, make me known your ways, teach me your path, lead me in your truth. Remember your mercies, God. Don't remember my youth. In other words, don't remember my young and less mature days and moments. I mean, that's probably a prayer that many of us have made to God. God, don't remember my immaturities. Don't remember those moments where I messed up. He's saying, don't remember my youth, but remember me through your mercy and your goodness. David is a man after God's own heart. David is a man whose heart and spirit, his emotions are in a constant dialogue with God. And so David asks this rhetorical question to himself. In other words, this question he knows the answer to, but he felt the need to ask it to find some comfort in it. He's gone through things that have allowed him to know answers. And on a side note, I want to tell you that sometimes we're asking God for answers that we already know the answers to. We're asking questions that we know the answers to already. And sometimes we ask, why are we going through something? And then down the road, the circumstance helps us in a present circumstance, right? We go through something, and years later, we go through something else, and we say, man, what I went through then helped me go through what I'm going through now. And so David, knowing this and understanding this, asked himself this rhetorical question to get him through this circumstance, through this situation, through the space that he found himself in. David's hardships and other moments have equipped him enough to be able to answer the questions of his heart in this moment. David asks in verse 12, who is the man who fears the Lord? In other words, what does the man or woman look like? What does this person look like, a person that fears God? What are the characteristics of this man or woman who fear the Lord? How could we identify this man or woman who fears the Lord? But before we go through that, we need to know what fear means here. The Hebrew word is yare, and it means reverence and honoring of God. It doesn't have it does have a bit of a definition of fear. When we first think about it, it's a sense of an awe-inspired tremble before the Lord. The best way I can think about it is if we are in court, we see a judge, we don't want to step out of line, not because we're scared of this person, but because we honor this person, because we respect this person in this space. And so this is who David is asking himself. Who is this man? What does this person look like that fears the Lord? It is a holy and honoring tremble before the Lord. Isaiah 62 verse 2 says, sheds a light on the contrast when it corresponds trembling or fearing of God with a heart of humility and contrition at the thought of this powerful God. It's a sense of awe, of honor to know that this God, who is larger than life, who created life, that God whom doesn't need us but desires us, we have the ability and opportunity to have relationship with Him. And so this causes us to find an honor, a reverence, because I know that I don't deserve His love, and yet He still gives it to me. It's not a fear that causes anxiety. It's not a fear that cripples us, or that causes us to freeze or become incapacitated. It's not a fear that causes us to be stuck. It's not a fear that causes phobia. So if you felt that, we know that that's not God. That's not the fear that God is asking or looks for, or that David is speaking about here. But it is me honoring God. It is me revering the presence of the Lord. It's giving God His due. It is placing God where He should be, on the throne of our hearts and our minds. And the best way is to live, and the best way we can do this is to live out lives in fear of God. To live out lives constantly, daily, honoring God with what we do. And so now I'm doing my best to make better decisions because I fear God. And now I'm doing my best to make adjustments where needed to, because I love the fact that even while we were yet sinners, God died for me. So I will honor Him with my life. I will do the best that I can to fear God, to honor God with my life. I want to honor Him with how I engage with my emotions and my feelings and with people, and within the believing and unbelieving community. So fearing God is the honoring of God. It's the desire that I have as a child to represent His name well. To honor Him with my life at all times. Not being perfect, but keeping our minds and our hearts on God and who He is. So that we can make the proper adjustments needed in our lives and our daily living. And so in this part of the psalm, David teaches us by stating a rhetorical question. And ask, what does this person whom fears and honors, reveres God with their life look like? How can we identify this person? And another side, I want to remind you that usually the rhetorical questions are more for the hearer of them rather than the speaker of them. And so the test or the challenge tonight is, am I a person who is fearing the Lord in my daily living? Do my decisions reflect that I am a person that fears God with my daily life? And that is the challenge, the question, the application part for us tonight. David tells us that the person that fears the Lord, and he goes and shows us the characteristics. He tells us that the person that fears the Lord, the believer that fears the Lord, that actively lives a life honoring God, that person, God instructs his or her life, he says. David says that he or she is a believer who is instructed by God. He is instructed in the way that he should choose, says Scripture. In other words, this believer, their heart, Their mind, their actions, and decisions are based on their seeking out of God's guidance for their life. That is a person that fears the Lord. Always checking in with God. Proverbs 19:23 tells us of this benefit. It says that the fear of the Lord leads to life. In other words, the person that fears the Lord because they are in constant dialogue with the Lord, because they're in constant communication with the Lord and with God, and they are managing their lives directed by how they know God would want them to live their life. That person, he says, they can rest assured that their life will be led and instructed by God. That is life. That is life that can only come from the Lord. Psalms 23:2, which is one of my favorite verses, and I quote it all the time, says, "He leads me beside still waters." That is that's a characteristic of a person who lives a life fearing God. It's a person whose life is led by God towards peaceful waters. A good God-fearing believer is a believer who manages their lives through the honor he or she feels for the loving and forgiving God. How do we know if we're living lives out of honor, in reverence, in fear of the Lord? One of the ways is for us to ask ourselves, am I being instructed by the Lord? Is my everyday life being instructed and led by the Lord? Am I allowing God to instruct my life? Am I making emotional choices? Am I reacting out on emotion and not based on what my seeking out of God? The person who fears the Lord, his life will be instructed by the Lord. The second thing he says is that a person or believer that lives out a life in fear of the Lord, in honor of God, he says that his soul shall live in well-being. And I want you to notice that scripture is clear in wording. It doesn't say that his life will be found in well-being, but it does say that his soul will be found in well-being. In other words, the believer that fears the Lord will find true joy, true well-being, even in the midst of hardship. Because the believer has his or her mind steadfast on God. So that means that I will go through hardship. I will go through pain. I will go through struggle. I will go through anguish and anxiety. But my soul, my inside, will rest in God's well-being because I am fearing, because I am living this life that draws me close to God, even in the midst of my hardship. What does that look like or sound like? The Apostle Paul is a perfect example. Job is a perfect example of people who lived, whose souls were in well-being even while their hardship, even while their flesh, while their outside was going through hardship. Job said after losing it all, material things, family, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is a soul who is living in God's well-being. This is a soul of a person who's living in fear of God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about when the Lord tells him, "My grace is sufficient for you." Paul makes a statement that shows a soul in a state of well-being, even in hardship. He says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content." This is the key word, content. "With weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." For when I am weak in flesh, my soul in God is strong. A person who's living in a soul in well-being. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, this truth, this gospel that he begins to speak in chapter 4 about, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way. We are afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. My flesh is struck down, but my soul is not destroyed," he's saying. "My flesh is persecuted, but my soul is not forsaken. I am struck down and perplexed in spirit, in material, in mind, in emotions, but my spirit is not driven to despair, because our souls are in a state of well-being, of rest. of confidence in God, knowing who He is in the midst of our hardship. This is a statement from a soul living in well-being. It doesn't mean that it will be without hardship and trial, but it means that even in hardship, we can find confidence and we can be confident in and secure that we are fully taken care of by God. And that's not an easy thing, but what helps us do that is if we would live lives constantly, daily, in fear, in honor of God. It becomes a habit. It becomes our daily living. It's like eating, it's like drinking water. It's like eating breakfast. We need it. And so when the hardship comes, we don't fret because our soul has exercised this ability to live in well-being through the fearing of God day in and day out. Our soul living in well-being. The psalmist said in Psalm 84, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. He knew that he could find confidence in the midst of it all in the presence of God day in and day out. And the last thing, as I asked the team to come up, that David teaches us, that a God-fearing believer is one whose offspring shall inherit the land. You know what my prayer is for our daughters? My constant prayer for my daughters and for our daughters is, God, that they would love you, that it would be innate in them. That we would be examples of their love, of your love to them, but that they would love you, that it would be inside of them, that it wouldn't matter what mom and dad does after a while, but that they would just love God just because they love God. That's my prayer for our girls, not only because we tell them to or would have taught them to, but that Jay and I would model a type of life that would resemble you and I, in turn, that we would resemble God to others. Our desire is that the love that my wife and I have would resemble God's love for them. And in turn, what that would do is that they would understand God's love for them. And so what he's saying is, and that's our context, right? That's not everybody's context. Not everyone has kids. But what he's saying is that a person that fears God, everybody that will come after them will also learn the fearing of God because of their example. For me, my context is my children. Your context, it might be your friend. Your context, it might be your family member that doesn't know the Lord. They will learn to fear the Lord. They will learn to love God through the way that we live. And David is saying that we need, that a God-fearing person is a person that walks a life honoring God. And if we do so, those that will come after us, our friends, our family members, our children later down the road, they will inherit the blessing of knowing God for who He is. He ends by teaching us in verse 15 that because He has God ever present in His mind and heart, because He is fearing God day in and day out, God continues and will continue to be an ever-present help in time of need. Verse 15 says, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet from the snare. Other verses says, only He will pluck me out from the trap of the enemy. Benefits of fearing the Lord. I read something from John Calvin. He says, a true turning of our life to God is a turning that arises from a pure and earnest fear of Him. When we fear God, when we live lives out in fear, in honor, in reverence, in this constant looking to Him, in this constant lifting our eyes to the hills, David tells us that that God will instruct our life, that our soul, even in hardship, will be in well-being, that our life will become an example of His great love and help to those that come after us. The question today is, are we living those God-fearing lives? Is our actions being directed by this fear, this honor of God? Are we making decisions seeking God's instruction? Are we really seeking God and then waiting to hear from Him? Or are we seeking God and then saying, all right, God, I'm doing. David says that a characteristic of a person that fears God is a person that is instructed by God. I mean, that takes time. It takes moments of hearing things that we don't want to hear. That's instruction. David says that we will go through hardship, but our soul, because we're practicing this, because we're exercising this fearing of God day in, day out, will be in well-being. And so the question tonight is, as we, I'd like for you to rise to your feet, and close your eyes with me, and just think, am I living a life fearing God? David asks this rhetorical question. Then he responds and he says, it's a person that is instructed by God. It's a person whose soul is in well-being. It's a person whose descendants will inherit the land. And do we see that in our lives? And the altar call does not have to be filled. The goal is that the Lord would speak to your heart where you are. And that you would feel this challenge on a daily living. To say, God, I just don't want to say that I'm a believer, God, but I want to live a life day in and day out in fear of You, in honor of You, in reverence of You, understanding who You are for me, understanding what You've done for me, understanding that day in and day out I can wake up and ask forgiveness and receive it. And so, God, that gives me this awe-inspired tremble before You, God, and helps me and conduces me to live a life that is instructed by You. To live a life that understands that although hardship will come, our soul will be in well-being. And to live a life understanding and seeing the big picture. That it's not only about us, but it's also about those that are coming after us. So as the team comes up, I want to pray with you. I'm going to pray. And if you feel in your heart to come up, we want to pray with you here as well. But the challenge is an inventory for your heart, for your life. God, I thank You this evening, Lord. I thank You because You leave in Your scripture blueprints, God. You left in Your scripture just direction for us, God. Keys for us, God. Light in the darkness, God. Lamp to our feet is Your word. And so tonight, God, as we challenge Your church, as we are challenged tonight by your scripture, by David, God, Lord, help us live lives in fear of You, God. Help us live lives honoring You day in and day out, God. Help us in every decision that we make, in every situation that we find ourselves in every community that we might find ourselves in, Lord, help us live lives that please You, Jesus. Help us live lives that please You, Lord. God, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, Lord. The altar is open if you want to pray. We're here to pray with you. But we pray that this word would sit on your heart and that the Lord would begin to water it and it would come to fruition. That we would all be people, sons and daughters of God, living in fear, in honor, in reverence of God. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.